block, and that you have engraved this powerful storm, and it's a blessing that we're here together. I notice the darkness is affecting poor James. He needs a light out there. We'll work on that. We won't let this happen again. And, but here, I have the light already prepared, so may God help us. So today's gospel of the disciples being sent off on a boat into the sea, into the darkness of the night, and then the appearance of our Lord and God and Savior Jesus Christ comes immediately following the feeding of the 5,000. And I think I said last week that the reason that our Savior went out into the desert is he'd heard of the execution of St. John the Baptist. And this, of course, was a forewarning of difficulties to come because if Herod had unleashed his violence and his apostasy, if you want to call it that, but his violence and his lack of faith or hatred of the faith on John the Baptist, certainly he was going to release it on our Lord and God and Savior Jesus Christ. And he being perfect God and perfect man, as man he certainly was aware of this, and as God he was aware. As man, I'm sure, he groaned within himself. And we see this amazing thing that, on the one hand, the Savior accepts his destiny with complete obedience and complete acceptance and fearlessly. And on the other hand, he often groans at the weight of it. And this contrast is to continue to remind us that he's perfect God and perfect man. That as man, he suffered upon the cross, and he experienced the pain. He didn't just do it painlessly. He experienced the pain, and the agony, and the humiliation. And so it is, he was subject to the news of John the Baptist, and that led to the feeding of the 5,000 who came out to see him. And this, as I said last week, there's a tremendous amount of symbolism in that gospel about the Holy Church. And now he is, this is a kind of general revelation that is the feeding of the 5,000, the five loaves. And during the Divine Liturgy, of course, we have five loaves that are baked by pious parishioners. And these five loaves, continuing from the very beginning of our Savior's miracle, continue to be the very basis of our Holy Communion. And I will share with you that yesterday when I was celebrating Divine Liturgy, I just had this, sometimes you have these just sort of moments of awareness, and it was almost as though I could see the hands of the person who made the prosphora kneading the bread, preparing it for the consecration of the gifts, that they become the body and of our Lord and God and Savior Jesus Christ. And you think about that, how serving the church is such an amazing thing, because when we serve the church, we're serving our Lord and God and Savior. And there are profound rewards for serving the Holy Church. And so here we have the five loaves. Now, the next thing is that it says in the gospel, and straightway Jesus made his disciples get into a ship and to prepare them for initiation, these are my words, into the mysteries of his divinity and the kingdom of God. And so the ship really symbolizes this little boat, and they're rocking on the sea, and the sun has already set, and darkness has come upon them. And so this little boat is a foreshadowing of the ark of salvation. And another thing that I find, I love our church very much, the physicality of it and the beauty of it. And there are times when I stand in the church and it's almost as though the altar is the wheelhouse, you know, and we're steering the ship through the raging seas of the chaos around us. And here in this place, we have peace and sanctity. And we have access to salvation. So the ship is an amazing symbol, and it continues with us, and we're reminded of this. Each little church is its own ship, but there's only one ship in Christ, and that is the ship of salvation through his precious body and blood, which is consecrated and served throughout the world. And so it is, the ship is the symbol of the ark of salvation. And they go before him unto the other side. And while he sent the multitudes away, and when he had sent them, he went. I have my sermons and I put them on the side sometimes, and I think, wow, am I confused here? So he sent the multitudes away, went himself by himself to pray. And the evening was come, and he was there alone, as were his disciples. But the ship was now in the middle of the sea, tossed with waves. The wind was very strong and contrary. And at the fourth watch, which is the watch is 3 a.m. to 6 a.m., the first watch is from 6 to 9, and the second from 9 to 12, and from 12 to 3, and then from 6 a.m., 3 a.m. to 6 a.m. So here he is in the fourth watch of the night, when it was profoundly dark. And Jesus went unto them walking on the sea. And when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were troubled, and saying, it's a spirit. And they cried out with fear. And I think here they are. They're disciples, and yes, they have unique and spiritual traits. But they, as at this point in the whole narrative of salvation, they know that the Savior is powerful, and they know that he's a representative of God, and they know that he has the Holy Spirit, and miracles come forth from him. But they really don't know yet fully who he is. And so, can you imagine, they see him walking on the sea. I mean, this in itself, can you imagine the water, and you're in this boat, and the water has become boisterous, as it says in the gospel, or contrary, or stormy and violent even. And here he is, walking on the sea. And when the disciples saw him, they were troubled. And it's the spirit. Now think about that. Why were they troubled? Because they did not have the spiritual knowledge to discern who it was. And they thought it was a spirit. Now, when they say, I think when the gospel says a spirit, it does not mean the Holy Spirit. It means perhaps some kind of other phenomenon, which is what they would know about through their tradition and through their understandings in a worldly way, but to know that this being, our Lord and God and Savior Jesus Christ, was in fact standing before them. And so it is, they cried out for fear. They were afraid. And straightway Jesus spoke to them, saying, "Be of good cheer, it is I." And it says, "Be not afraid." And it's interesting, there are these statements that sometimes they're called the I Am statements, where our Savior pronounces who he is. And when he does that, his glory is revealed. And so here he is saying, "It is I, be not afraid." So he appeared to them and revealed himself not only in words, but in glory and in power. And Peter's a great personality. And Peter answered him and said, "Lord, if it be you, command me to come to thee on the water." So Peter is confessor of the faith, without a doubt. He's considered the greatest of the apostles, without a doubt. But he also has this other side, and he makes a lot of mistakes, and says things which are very interesting. And really, in a sense, he represents humanity. To be kind to Peter, really, truly represents humanity, because I mean, he's seeing things that he hadn't seen before, or they hadn't seen before, and he cries out in fear, and he tests. He wants to test the spirits, which is a good idea. And we have to test the spirits, and so and he answered him and said, "Lord, if this is you, command me to come to thee on the water." So here Peter's testing the Savior, right? Which is I think it's a wonderful window into the spiritual life. And the Savior said, and the Savior, by the way, testing Peter. So Peter's going to test the Savior. The Savior's going to test Peter. And he said, "Come." And when Peter had come down out of the ship, he walked on the water to go to Jesus. And I'm sure Peter was, can you imagine stepping on the water? You're walking on the water and you're going to Jesus. But when he saw the wind boisterous, he was afraid. And that's, so here we have on the one hand his confidence and his faith, and yet on the other hand the weakness of his humanity. And in this moment, his fear overcame him, and he began to sink and cried out, "Lord, save me!" And so his doubt and his leads to this confession of faith: "Lord, save me!" So, in a sense, Peter here he's demonstrating the necessity for faith and to turn to the Lord, to our Lord and God and Savior Jesus Christ. For salvation, and this is a profound message, of course, and something we should take heed of, because we live in a boisterous, violent and confusing era, and we need to cry out continuously, "Lord Jesus Christ, Son of God, have mercy upon me, a sinner," or cry out, "Lord, save me." And immediately, Jesus stretched forth his hand and caught him, and said unto him, "O thou of little faith, why did you doubt?" And when they were come into the ship, the wind ceased. And when Christ came into the ship, the wind ceased. Or they, Peter and the Savior. And calm was restored. So here we have this, "O thou of little faith, why did you doubt?" And, "Oh, thou of little faith," and of myself of little faith, why do we doubt? Why don't we have total, complete, full confidence in our Lord and God and Savior Jesus Christ? Why don't we open our hearts and our minds and reveal to him all of our iniquities and our sinfulness and weakness, and embrace him with complete faith, embracing him who has given us reason to be assured that if we open our hearts and our minds fully and completely to him, he will raise us up out of the sea of chaos and confusion and give us clarity of mind and fullness of faith and a vision of his eternal life and the love that it shines down upon us. So, we're all rebuked. "O thou of little faith, why did you doubt?" And when they were come into the ship, the wind ceased. And of course, when Peter came in, he came with Christ. And calm was restored. But not just calm of the sea, but the interior, the spiritual calm was restored by his entrance into the boat, into this foreshadowing of the ark of salvation. And they that were in the ship came and worshipped him, saying, "Truly, you are the Son of God." So there, "Truly, you are the Son of God." And it seems to me that no matter what conditions we find ourselves in, and we need to turn to our Lord and God and Savior and say, truly, you are the Son of God. Take me by the hand and raise me out of this tempest of confusion and save me. And when they had crossed over, they came into the land of Gennesaret. And when the men of that place recognized him, they sent out into that surrounding region and brought unto him all that were sick, and begged him that they might only touch the hem of his garment. And as many as touched it were made perfectly well. So here the end of this gospel is that Christ came to establish the church, to reveal the church, to show us that the church is like this boat on a stormy sea in the darkest of night, and yet if we are in this vessel of salvation, so we find peace, and we find strength, and we find salvation. And then, if that's the case, then we can, in a sense, bear witness to this by our... sounds like the hurricanes, right? We can bear witness of this in our spiritual lives, in our life in the church. Then people will be attracted, even as they were to our Lord and God and Savior Jesus Christ. And they will come into the Holy Church, and it says here, just by touching the hem of the garment, this is not even yet partaking in the mystery of his body and blood, that we and those who come will receive the gift of spiritual health, and in many cases, of the beginning of true physical and spiritual health. May we, brothers and sisters in Christ our God, on this very stormy day, try to live according to the gospel of our Lord and God and Savior Jesus Christ. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.